We're reading from Psalm 22, and you can find it on page 434 in your Bibles. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest.
Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our ancestors trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame.
But I am a worm and not human, scorned by others and despised by the people. All who see me mock at me. They make mouths at me. They shake their heads. Commit your cause to the Lord. Let him deliver. Let him rescue the one in whom he delights.
Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe on my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth, and since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help.
Many bulls encircle me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs are all around me. A company of evildoers encircles me. My hands and feet have shriveled. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots.
But you, O Lord, do not be far away. O my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. From the horns of the wild oxen you have rescued me.
I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation I will praise you.
You who fear the Lord, praise him.
All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him indeed shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it.
Thank you so much, Sue and Ajit. My God, why have you forsaken me? They're the words of Jesus on the cross in Matthew chapter 27 and Psalm 22, verse 1. This psalm, which was either for David or about him or written by him, was probably written with regards to his years as a refugee living in the hills on the run from King Saul, who wanted his life. It's also so prophetically aligned with Jesus going to the cross that we might be left wondering if it wasn't just written about him. This psalm is David's desperate cry for help. Where is God when his enemies surround him, wanting his head? It's a psalm of unanswered prayer, a roller coaster of emotions that we would be all too familiar with. How long will these struggles and disappointments last? How long will I have these financial difficulties? How long will these health issues persist? How long will the difficulties in this relationship last? How long will I be without a job? And is God in any of it? Well, every single one of us sitting here would have at least one long-term unanswered prayer right now. Ben Fitzgerald, who's had the vision for Awakening Australia that's on this weekend, 18 months ago, realised that he would need to be asking the Lord to raise $2 million for this event to happen. In other countries, the stadiums have been happy with payments coming in after the event, but with this event, it's been a different situation. Marvel Stadium wanted full payment up front, everything. And this is a man who walks in great faith, but he's been very honest with us, and it stretched his faith too. And last night, the full amount was paid. So glory to God. It's just incredible what God's done in these days. Yeah. Of course, that event is not about money, but it is about stretching people's faith. It's about Jesus stretching our faith. So God is being glorified there in that way. We know that so often there's a need to wait on the Lord over an issue like Ben had to do, maybe for a very long time, maybe for a whole lifetime. But what if God views the journey as being much more important than the end point? How would the desert feel if we could grasp that perspective? And this is what I'd like to focus on today, God's very long-term perspective in seasons of unanswered prayer. David, in this psalm, seems to oscillate between two opposing perspectives. One where introspection leads him to despair, and one where his eyes are firmly fixed on God, which leads him to leaning on the faith and the testimonies of his ancestors. From this place, life looks very different. He reminds God of his faithfulness, proclaims his power, protection, and greatness, and he's trusting God for his own testimony too. One option is like poison to his soul. The desperation seems endless, and who of us hasn't been there? The other option, in the same set of circumstances, is full of hope, peace, and trust. It's as if two different people wrote this psalm. Until we come to a pivotal point in verse 19 where David says to the Lord, "Oh, my help, come quickly." Some translations use the word strength there for hope. David remembers that his strength is found in God alone. And having brought his thoughts back on track, he's then able to make progress in that headspace to the big victory statements of verses 23 onwards. You who fear the Lord, praise him. And finally, although his circumstances haven't changed, he's been able to take on God's perspective. David moves beyond just talking himself through his despair into such a place of strength that he's able to speak strength to those around him, because he's remembered where his help comes from. What if the place of unanswered prayer could become for us, just as it becomes here for David, a place of hope, adventure, anticipation, joy, and expectation? And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who've been called according to his purpose. What if that verse is really true? And there's going to be an outcome which God declares to be very good. Even if we get a no for an answer or have to wait a very long time for the yes. If God's perspective on his answer for us is good, wouldn't it be amazing to be able to rest right now and dream about that good answer rather than letting the knotty ropes of stress wrap themselves around us? God cares about the end point, but I believe he cares equally about the journey and where we are in our relationship with him along the way. This is of real importance, the time spent in the wilderness on the way to the promised land. It's right where David is in this psalm. What do we do when we find ourselves there in this painful place of sanctification? God is jealous for us. There are no shortcuts. Time with him matters. If we want to get through the wilderness of the season of an unanswered prayer, we need to slow down and let him transform us, starting with a transformation of our perspective. We need to ask to see our circumstances as he sees them, full of promise and hope, even in the most desperate times. The Israelites weren't able to come into what God had for them in the promised land until they'd learned who he is and what the generational call on their lives looked like. In order to bless them with a wonderful future, they needed to be shaped into being a holy and distinctive people. If they'd gone into the promised land any earlier, they wouldn't have been able to hold what he was giving them. Yet they hated the wilderness. Their prayers took 40 years to be answered. If God had answered them sooner, they wouldn't have been ready. And we have to trust that what he has ahead is always good, and we need to be able to steward it, understand it, value it, and be surrendered to God for it, or it could fall out of our hands too. God is looking for people who can bring him glory and carry him to the world. So how will he take us to that place? He does it by refining us deeply. The more glorious the endpoint, the deeper the preparation. The more of his kingdom he plans to release through a person, the greater the work of intimacy along the way, because we need to know what to do with what he's giving us. Our preparation in the hidden places is being designed to be worked out later as we bring Jesus and his kingdom to our workplace, that cafe, or perhaps to our extended family. We don't usually get to burn for him without being put in a fire. We usually don't get to hunger for him without a sense of a lack of spiritual food. We don't look for his guidance in the cloud unless we're first in the wilderness. Can we trust that God knows what's best for us, that he's in the journey, in the pain of waiting, and that he has a perfect and good plan ahead? Our lives each have an extraordinary purpose, and it's through the waiting room of unanswered prayer that we come into the next chapter. Let's look more closely at this psalm. You might like to open it up, Psalm 22. David is on the run. He's homeless. Apart from some time near the end of his wilderness years, where he and his men are given the town of Ziklag to live in. But that too ends in tears when it gets captured. Fast forward beyond this psalm, and Saul has died. David's become king. And how does this time of unanswered prayer for rescue actually end? Well, God gives David both Jerusalem, a city to live in, and a palace. David had no idea how long the wilderness would last. Yet the very thing he lacked there, a home, was given to him in the form of a palace when those hard years were over. And as if that's not enough, God blesses him with far more than this, as we read in 2 Samuel, where God gives David the house, or the dynasty of David, and Jerusalem, where he lives, becomes known as the city of David. He goes from homelessness to a palace, and still further, onto headship of the most important house ever known, a house that Jesus is later born into. There's the long-term view right there. Look again. David's on the run. In 1 Samuel 19, chapters 19 to 31, we find him living in forests, deserts, hills and caves. One of these places is called the Crag of the Wild Goats. I'd love to say I come from the suburb of Crag of the Wild Goats. It's a beautiful name. Anyway, the umbrella name over all these places he's hiding out in is called the Stronghold. A stronghold is an inaccessible place. Let's take stock of that for a moment. This man, David, goes on to become king of Israel and gives birth to the family line of Jesus himself many generations later. David, who hid out in inaccessible places during his desert experience, becomes the ancestor of the Son of God, who restores our access to God by his death and resurrection on the cross. It's like this. David is in a painful place of inaccessibility for the purposes of his safety, so that generations later, God becomes fully accessible to us for our safety. Do we have any vision whatsoever for what God can do in our season of painful, unanswered prayer? It's like walking through mud, isn't it? Yet, as you slug through it, God is setting you up. He's setting you up for your future. I call it a love setup. Joseph went from running the prison to running the country. Have a read of that story again later, imagining you don't know the outcome. He does the hard yards of pressing into God in a horrible place, and he hadn't even done anything wrong. But God was transforming Joseph. And as with David, God had plans to give back to Joseph so much more than was stolen from him. Multitudes got blessed and generations got blessed. Look at the life of Noah. He was well prepared by the time the rains came for that monumental task of supply chain management for animals. Think about what happened as God shut him in inside that ark, as it says in Genesis 7:16. With nowhere to go, if things got too tough on the inside, he simply waited on God for the future of the world as he knew it. There was absolutely no escape from this. He didn't know how long it would last, whether the boat would stand the test of weather, water, and weight, nor how a few humans would live in close confinement with so many animals. What desperate times of prayer he must have had, knowing what was going on outside the ark as he was safe in it. He stuck close to God, and as he willingly went into the place of being shut into the ark, God could work through this surrender to transform everything on the outside around him. Surely he had God's perspective in order to endure this. And let's think about the outcome. As with David, the area of Noah's trial, his time of waiting and praying, ends up becoming the area of his victory and blessing. During his time of being shut in by the Lord, he was given one task, that of feeding the animals to keep them alive. That's his job in the ark. And as he emerges victorious when the floodwaters have subsided, God gives him blessing in the very same area as the trial that he's overcome. We find that where Noah had to feed the animals and depend on God for this work, for this to work out, in Genesis 9:3, God now gives him the animals, at least the clean ones, for a new and abundant food supply. The trial he prayed through during the time of waiting on the Lord has become not just a victory, but also his new area of blessing, provision, and authority. I want to suggest that the area of our struggle, of our unanswered prayer, is the very area of our future blessing and authority. My son Tom doesn't mind me telling you today that he was greatly tested with a school camp situation. He had challenges as he was growing up from year three onwards. A spirit of anxiety started afflicting him at a camp at that age to such a degree that he simply couldn't attend camp for years. And I wasn't a soft parent. He could not attend camp for years. But suddenly, by year 11, the power of the cross broke through. Our prayers were answered. And with victory, blessing, and authority, he became a passionate leader of camps for younger students. Look at this in Hannah's life. She was barren. She prayed for one son so that she could offer him to the Lord in service in the temple. She pressed into God during that painful time of waiting, of unanswered prayer, and she was given Samuel. She was then given five more children who she hadn't prayed for. Her area of trial became her area of victory, blessing, and abundance. As she persevered through the pain of barrenness, God didn't just answer her original prayer, but he blessed her in that same area way beyond her original request. And best of all, she received a gift of intimacy with God, which is revealed in her song of 1 Samuel chapter 2. So what kind of mud are you walking through at the moment? What's your unanswered prayer? What kind of a setup is God taking you through? If you'll keep going, faithfully sticking to him and growing in him, he may well be preparing to anoint you with power to bring his kingdom for the very opposite of what you're living through. When I was a child, I spent many, many hours in church halls where I was trained to become a ballet dancer. Unfortunately, I experienced a lot of verbal abuse in this setting. That was my experience of church halls, quite damaging places. Yet many years later, I've seen a good number of people get saved in three different church halls across Melbourne in the times that I've run Alpha. It's as if God's given me church halls as a place of life and redemption to replace the hurt and the damage I'd known growing up. As we see in the Bible, his redemptive work always gives back more than what was stolen. If you're praying now for a solution to a problem, let the Lord shut you in, as he did with Noah and David and others, to transform you and to transform your perspective as you wait on him to come into an abundance in that same area in his good timing. Has he given you a promise for the future? Cling to his promises for all your worth, as David does in this psalm. There's the carving out of your future area of authority when you do these hard yards God's way. Shut in, coming to him, trusting him, thanking him, remembering the testimonies of the past and his promises of the future, like David does, woven through this psalm. If you want to know God's plan for you, maybe take a good long look right now at the kind of waiting room that you're in. What's the topic? Is it a relationship crisis? A health problem? A job situation? A parenting struggle? Come to him. Get into the secret place regularly. Not just for 15 minutes. Get in there and get with God and press in. Let him transform you. And you may find that you come out the other end of it with authority and blessing and victory in that same area. Like David, living in hidden, inaccessible places to providing accessibility to God for a multitude which incidentally is happening to many believers attending Awakening Australia this weekend who've been out on the streets, who've prayed for decades for God to save many people in our city, and they're now seeing that happen. There were many salvations this weekend through Awakening Australia. God's answer is probably not the answer you're seeking. It's probably much bigger and better. It probably goes way beyond what you're asking. It will be a kingdom-sized answer, but you need to align your life with His in order to receive it. Maybe you've been praying through a topic in this Freedom series and not seeing breakthrough yet. Well, God wants to renew your mind. So as well as praying the prayers we've provided, you pray, you also come into this freedom through taking on His perspective. Let Him shut you in now for that transformation to take place. Some freedom is fast, some takes time, and we don't understand that until we're through it all. The only real way is to wait on God like the heroes of the Bible did. Jesus went through the agony of the cross for heaven's abundance for us on the other side of it. His whole life was like a big 33-year-long living prayer that went like this. Father, the price for their sin has to be paid so that they can be rescued back into relationship with us. And He Himself became the answer to that prayer. The outcome for us, the outcome for God, is that He gets to enjoy a perfectly restored relationship with those of us who choose Him. But we all get the benefits too as we come into the full work of the cross. He's continually calling us into that deeper and deeper because of the wonder and the beauty of the work of the cross. This is a relationship like no other. It's perfect, endless, unconditional love. So how is your current distress level at being in the wilderness, at going through the preparation for what's ahead? Can you quietly talk to God about it in trust? Or are you like the Israelites, crying out to go back where you came from because the food was better back there? Are you losing sight of the milk and honey that's ahead? Is it possible that this could be a time of rest, joy, and life instead of grief? God invites you to wait well and let Him transform you so that He can partner with you for the establishment of His kingdom somewhere, at the level of family or in a workplace or maybe for a whole nation like Joseph. God wants to redeem the impossible in your life. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Jesus, we just we come to you and we repent of situations of unbelief in our hearts and worry where we've been in places of unanswered prayer. Maybe we're in one right now and we've been worried and we've been lacking belief in your power. We repent of these things. We repent of a lack of trust when actually you're on the throne. We repent of thinking that we have to solve our problems when you know the answer, when you've got it all sorted, and we just need to wait on you. We repent of doing things our own way in the waiting. Lord, we ask you to forgive us. And we thank you, Jesus, that there's a provision in your blood this morning for the cleansing of those things where we've been stressed and worried. Yeah, thank you, Jesus, that there's power in your blood and that you would wash us and cleanse us this morning so that we could come into the waiting room in a whole new way, knowing that you've got things sorted. Lord, I pray that we would all be given a gift of a long-term perspective, your perspective, God, that we might see things generationally, not just for today. I thank you, God, that your perspective is beautiful. And I pray for the mind of Christ for us in all things. I pray, God, that we would be able to live in peace as we come into your perspective on our situations. And I just bless people with that peace this morning here in this church. Oh God, I ask that you would open our eyes and show us who you are so that we can take on that perspective that you've got for us, the only perspective that's going to get us through the hard stuff. God, open our eyes in the name of Jesus and help us rest in your promises, rest in the promises of your word. And Lord, that you would even take us to a place of being able to just dream about what you might be doing in the midst of the situation and what the end point might look like. Lord, we want to build our lives on you and you alone. You are the only firm foundation. We put our trust in you again this morning. And God, I thank you that you're the Redeemer, that you redeem all things. And I just speak that out over this congregation this morning, the redemption of all things that have been lost in the current season of struggle and the current season in the desert. Lord, I pray for birthing in Jesus' name. I pray for birthing out of that hard season. I pray that you would bless us with tenacity, that you'd be forming our character, God, and that you would reproduce something in us that you need further down the line of our lives. Thank you, God. I ask that our trials would end up becoming our areas of victory and blessing. Jesus, you are so worthy, and we live for you, and we pray these things in your name. Amen.